assemble.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod host, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
Welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, and well, I'm kind of solo, but not quite. You'll see why in a moment. But first, I got to apologize and let you know that I was feeling for you. I knew there needed to be another episode, but things just happened that I couldn't control. First of all, Isaac's graduating, and with him graduating, that created a whole different world for me, and now I couldn't get him to come in. I wanted him to come in and ask him how he felt to be an adult now, but he's laying in bed playing video games, so I don't think he knows what it's like to be an adult yet. So but anyway, and then I've moved. I actually got a new job, and a part of this show right here is going to be based on that new job, because in the process of getting hired at this new radio station, I ran into a guy who's a lot like me, and we just kind of hit it off immediately. And then he's the morning guy, I'm the afternoon guy. And, well, it's amazing when you can nerd out with somebody and just say, okay, we're meant to be together. This is the perfect opportunity for us to work together. And that is none other than Tony Collins. Tony, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me on. And, yeah, I'm glad nobody's asked me what it feels like to be an adult, because I still don't know. I keep telling everybody, one of these days I'll figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And you know? Yeah, I still haven't figured it out either. I just still, you know, whenever the new toys come out, I'm like, oh, cool. That's for my son. Yeah. But now that he's grown up, I can't really do that.
Well, that's, I'm getting to the age now where I want my daughter to have kids, uh-huh, so I can be a grandpa there and take my grandkids to see all of the great animated movies.
Well, that, oh my gosh, I got,
and then I can buy all of the great toys.
Yes,
and then it's for my grandkids.
Yeah, I got two grandkids, and they're one of them's two, one of them's under 1 year old. Oh, okay. My adulthood is still still in hold.
That's right.
Basically, Tony and I, actually, when I first got the job, one of the things we spent, I think, a good hour or so just talking about Marvel movies, Avengers Endgame. And Star Trek, Star Wars, and right away I was like, actually, it's funny, because that time after we were done talking for about an hour, you had to go home for the day, is what it was. It was just, hey, I'm tired of working.
I've been up since 3 a.m. It's time to go home.
Yeah, but the thing is, that whole time we talked, it would have been a podcast, and so that's why I invited you on here today. So, hey, we can make a podcast out of this, because we can nerd out together.
Sure.
So this might be a regular ongoing thing, Tony Collins joining the Nerd Up Podcast. Now, in radio, we're both on WTYE in Robinson, Illinois now, and on the air you're known as Captain Radio.
Yep.
And I gotta ask, has that got anything to do with Star Trek?
Of course it does. Of course it does. Yeah, where our studio used to be was a smaller room, and I mean, a lot of the equipment was sitting right there, right next to the mixer console. So you've got the board with all of its lights, and you've got meters and stuff bouncing and moving, and lights blinking and flashing, and receivers. Right. And I had the thought, I made the comment on the air one day, that it felt like I was sitting on the bridge of the Enterprise with all of the computers and lights blinking and flashing. And I think I made some offhanded comment about being Captain Radio. And the rest, as they say, is history.
And it stuck with you. Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing. Tony was loving the fact that I served on the USS Enterprise.
Oh, I tell you what, you had me at hello with that one. Yep.
Yeah, not the Starship Enterprise. I was on the aircraft carrier. I got to clarify that. They wouldn't accept me on the Starship yet.
And I've got to say, I'm digging the t-shirt, man. You're rocking Sturgis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. That this great story behind this T-shirt. My wife and son and I, we planned a summer trip to Yellowstone National Park. Well, along the way, we'd stop at Mount Rushmore and a couple of the touristy things, Devil's Tower and things like that, you know. And I planned it, looked at the calendar, and I'm like, Sturgis is this weekend. I will go starting Sunday, I will be just outside of Rapid City. And so we went to Sturgis, and I got there on the last day, got to see the Broken Spoke Saloon and, guys from Jackal. And I can't remember the guy's name that owned the Broken Spoke. But so I got to see them and see the bikes as they're leaving. So I don't have a bike myself, But I love to look at them.
Well, I ride. I've never been to Sturgis. And I got to be honest, I would like to go during the off week.
No.
I'd like to go sometime when it's not just buttholes at elbows.
Right.
Just wall-to-wall people.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah. And that Sunday, that was one thing I really liked was that it was kind of, it was still crowded. It was, don't get me wrong, but it was thinning out towards the afternoon. So, but yeah, I don't think there's much there otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think the Broken Spoke Saloon is still there, but I think they make all of the money for the entire year during that week.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then they take the rest of the year off. How nice would that be?
It would be awesome.
Work 2 weeks out of the year and take the rest of them off. The other 50 weeks you're off vacationing and doing other stuff.
Don't we do that in radio?
Sort of.
So, yeah. So, see, more and more we get together. All right. So let's actually break down this podcast. It's been a while, and Avengers Endgame, the climax of all the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the spoiler ban is over. So we could talk, and that's one of the things that kept me from talking, because if I were going to talk about Endgame when it came out, I was going to spoil the crap out of it.
Oh, yeah, things were going to be spoiled. Yeah. Things were going to be said that could not be unsaid.
Because you can't talk about that without spoiling.
No.
And so now is the perfect time, and also there's a whole bunch of other things on the horizon. I will say this before we get to start talking about music or movies, is that the Godzilla movie that I was going to go see last night didn't happen.
Oh, yeah?
My son, we were going to go to the 9:50 showing, the late showing. I didn't mind. I like staying up late for a movie. And I go back in his bedroom when it's time for us to leave, and he's in his underwear laying in bed sleeping. I'm like, yeah, he's not going.
Yeah, you open the door to see if he's ready to go to the movie, and you hear.
Exactly. And I'm like, okay, probably I guess we're not going tonight. So maybe we'll catch it sometime soon, but who knows?
I have to put a plug in for, and I went and saw it Friday, not Godzilla, but I went and saw Rocket Man.
Yes, yes.
And it is phenomenal, absolutely fantastic. Just a ton of fun. Now, if you enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody, I think you're going to like Rocket Man, but it is a different movie.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody is a little more documentary style, more realistic. Rocket Man is much more of a musical type vibe, a little more like the Tom Cruise
Rock of Ages,
yeah. That kind of movie.
Okay.
Better than that movie.
So
but
the music was there to kind of help and push the story along.
The music was fantastic.
Of course.
And Terrence Edgerton, star of Kingsman.
Oh, yes.
He plays Elton John, and he does a phenomenal job. I really think maybe this was his opportunity to prove that he was an actor.
Yeah.
That he could do legit dramatic stuff, and he just killed it.
He did
fantastic.
Great. Well, we were talking about this when you got back from seeing the movie. First of all, he was in the movie. Taron Egerton was in the movie Sing, and he played a gorilla that sang the song "I'm Still Standing," an Elton John song.
Yep.
And then later on, he did Kingsman 2, which Elton John was in that. So
absolutely.
The way I figure it is, Sing was his audition, and Kingsman 2 was his interview. And then he got the part.
Yeah. And he did a fantastic job. I would definitely recommend it. If you haven't seen it yet, definitely go check it out.
So, like you're saying, so the Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, that was basically, they showed how the music was made. And then this one, the music is like helping tell where his state of mind is.
Yeah, a little bit. The music certainly kind of gives you a glimpse into what he was feeling. And, I mean, they really do a great job of outlining the backstory between he and Barry, I think his songwriter's name.
Oh,
he's got a
Bernie,
guy,
Bernie Taupin.
Bernie, yeah, he works with Bernie, and Bernie writes all of the lyrics, and then just gives them to Elton, and Elton looks at the lyrics and just sees the music, hears the music, sees the notes in his head, and he writes all of the music for their ridiculous number of hit songs that they've had together.
Yeah,
and they're still writing hit songs today. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's the nice thing. For a while there, they broke apart as a team, and then they got back together, and then hits came back out of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, during that time period, it's like, something's missing. Not quite. It's still Elton, but it's something missing. But yeah, I was a huge fan of the 70s Elton John, Bernie Taupin teamwork. So, So it's a definite must see then, huh?
Yeah, for sure. As a matter of fact, I was surprised. It was one of those movies I thought I can go see, and I'm not going to get any flack from anybody because it's kind of a niche thing. And my wife doesn't necessarily probably want to see it. My son would be upset if I went to see Godzilla without him. So Rocket Man should be safe. And then I was telling my wife I went to see it, and she went, oh, I kind of wanted to see that.
Well, yeah, sure.
All right. Be. I said, good, because I'll see it again.
Yeah.
It's okay, definitely good. A second view kind of movie.
Nice, nice. See, that's the way I felt about Bohemian Rhapsody. And it's like I saw it the preview night by myself. Nobody else wanted to go. And then as soon as I got back, anybody want to see that? I'll go again because it was awesome. So, yeah. Okay, good. Good to know that.
And you know, I think if Terrence Edgerton doesn't get, you know, some honest Academy recognition for his role in this, there should be some heads roll.
Wow.
You know, because Bohemian Rhapsody got a lot of Oscar buzz.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I don't, did Rami Malek actually win an Oscar?
Honestly, I don't remember. I don't think so. I think he got Golden Globes or something like that.
So, I mean, and this is at least as good as Bohemian Rhapsody, in my opinion.
Okay, wow.
Again, a little bit different movie. And whereas Bohemian Rhapsody tried to steer clear of Freddie Mercury's private life, they dive headlong into Elton John's private life,
okay,
so to speak.
Yeah, I heard something about one of the movie studios saying something about, can you take some of the gay out?
Yeah.
I was like, what? It's Elton John.
Take some of the gay out of an Elton John biopic. Yeah. I dare you.
It's like trying to slap the beef jerky out of my hand, so that ain't happening. Anyway. All right, well, cool. Now, like I said, I wanted to go see Godzilla. I'll go see it sometime. Maybe we'll do a review. Maybe by then you'll have seen it also.
Yeah.
And we'll get together on a review on that one. Let me ask you, there's another movie that's out right now that it's somewhat nerdy, but it's somewhat childish, Aladdin. You have any desire to see that?
I've actually seen it twice.
Oh.
I think I've seen it twice. My wife and son and I went and saw it, and then, you know, random afternoon, I get a text from my daughter who lives in Vincennes, Indiana, and says, hey, Dad, we'd like to go see Aladdin. Oh, well, all right. Come on down. And so I went to saw. And it is really good.
Is it?
It is. It is good. It is obviously different than the animated version. I mean, there's no way you can replace Robin Williams.
No.
And the fantastic thing is Will Smith did not try to replace Robin Williams.
Oh, okay.
He did his own gig. He did his own vibe. It is still very much Genie. They do the same songs. You know, some of the same sight gags are there, but in very much a Will Smith tone, very much a Will Smith style.
What about the parrot? Is it Gilbert Godfrey?
No. Unfortunately. And that's the parrot talks, but he doesn't like talk like Gilbert Godfrey in the animated one. It's just, you know, diamond in the rough.
Okay.
So it's still, you know. And they tried to ground it in reality, at least the parrot, which I'm frustrated by because you've got a big blue talking genie.
Right.
We've already suspended disbelief. Let the parrot talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And I'm sure Gilbert Godfrey's looking for a gig since he no longer does the Aflac stuff.
Right. He needs one. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm curious about it, but all these live action Disneys that they're doing, or even full CGI like The Lion King coming out, I'm intrigued, but I keep saying to myself, I've seen it before.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
I don't know.
And that's the thing. They have to walk a real fine line because it needs to be what I remember, and it needs to be a little bit different so that it stands on its own. And that's a hell of a tightrope to try to walk.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a tough one. And so far, I will say Beauty and the Beast, I really enjoyed. Aladdin, I very much enjoyed. I have not seen Dumbo, but I hear it did not do well. It kind of crashed and burned, so to speak.
And that gets me. I didn't get to see it while it was here, and I really wanted to, only for one reason. Danny DeVito was in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I never got to see it. And that was one I really wanted to see, but only because of Danny DeVito.
Well, and I mean, it had a great cast. Michael Keaton was in it, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, I mean, I love me some Michael Keaton, whether he's Batman or Birdman or the guy from Multiplicity.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm a huge Michael Keaton fan.
Yep. And, yeah, you can't go wrong with Michael Keaton. I guess, yeah, the cast of that should have had me gone, but I didn't go. And now what about Lion King? You going to go see that one?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. It's funny. You know, my wife and I just celebrated our 24th wedding anniversary. And
nice.
The first Christmas we spent together, we bought our first ornament. This is so cheesy and, you know, but we bought our first Christmas ornament.
Aww.
And it was a Lion King Christmas ornament.
Aww.
And it has been on every Christmas tree we've put up for the last 24, 25 years.
Okay.
Because we were together for a year before we actually got married. So We probably had that Christmas one in about 25 years.
Wow.
So Lion King has a special place in my heart and in our heart. So, yeah, we'll definitely go see it. And when I heard they were doing a – and I never know whether to call it live-action Lion King or animated Lion King.
Right.
This weird hybrid animation live-action – I was apprehensive about it until they said James Earl Jones was still doing the voice of Mufasa.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, now you've got my money. Now take my money.
Yeah, that's whenever they said he's going to be in it, I'm like, okay, you've got me. That's all it takes.
Same with the Transformers movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Once Optimus Prime has the correct voice, I'm all in for those.
Now, well, that was something I wanted to ask. Oh, I can't remember. What's the enemy's name in the bad lion in the
Scar.
Scar. Yes. Okay. Now that was Jeremy Irons in the animated.
Yeah.
Are they having him in the new one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he's great.
You know. They should have, I thought.
They got James Earl Jones. So yeah. I'm happy with that. I think, you know, Beyonce is maybe the voice of Nala. So
okay. Yeah.
That'll be interesting, but yeah, I mean, I'm all in. I enjoyed the live-action Jungle Book that they did. Jon Favreau directed and produced the live-action Jungle Book. Mowgli was about the only live-action character. So.
What, Christopher Walken one? Oh, he doesn't look like an orangutan all the time?
Yeah.
I thought that was...
Christopher Walken in anything, you've got my money, too.
I know, right?
And I love it no matter what character he plays, he's Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken every single time. And the funny thing is, whenever he did the orangutan, and that's the one with Louis Prima did in the animated version, and he didn't do the, if I recall right, they didn't do the full singing, dancing thing like the animated. They did a partial.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have actually seen moves that were, you know, motion captured from Christopher Walken doing the dance.
Well, Christopher Walken singing, you know, would be a bit of a challenge, too.
Yeah.
You know, what we need... is more cowbell.
Oh, man. All right, so looking at the actors for Lion King, Seth Rogen is Pumbaa, and Timon is Billy Eichner. That ought to be interesting. Okay, Eric Andre is Aziz. Now, there's one I was thinking here. That's the one my son has been wanting to see is Eric Andre, and I'm like, okay. Now, I always thought, I guess I was wrong. I thought Key and Peele had a role in that, but I guess they're just doing Toy Story 4. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, Lion King, live action, CGI, whatever you want to call it, that's also on the list. Yeah, I don't know. I never saw the Beauty and the Beast. Lion King, I don't have an ornament, so.
You have no deep-seated personal story with Lion King.
Yeah. Although, like you said, the James Earl Jones is like, that's freaking awesome.
You deliberately disobeyed me, and worse, you put Nala in danger.
Oh, wow. This is CNN.
This is CNN.
Did you ever see, what was it, a Family Guy episode where it was Darth Vader, Simba, or no, well, whatever. What's his name?
Mufasa,
yeah. And the CNN guy. Yeah. So, it's funny.
Well, it's one of my single favorite episodes of The Big Bang Theory. Of course, I'm a big fan of The Big Bang Theory, and it obviously came to an end. But there was an episode where Sheldon goes and hangs out with James Earl Jones and spends like a whole day with James Earl Jones. And James Earl Jones does a phenomenal job in the episode and just leans into it and has a blast.
Nice.
So definitely very cool.
I'll have to look for that one. I missed. There was one episode they did, one of the final episodes, in which they had like Kevin Smith. And I missed that one. I was so mad. It had like several of them there playing games together, and I think Will Wheaton was there.
Wheaton has a record. I mean, he's a recurring character on the series.
And,
one of the guys from Magic Mike was there, and Kevin Smith was there.
That's the one I wanted to see, but didn't get to see that one. But I did catch the final episode.
Yeah. I assume you've circled your calendar for Spider-Man Far From Home.
That's what I was bringing up next. Good call there. Man, you're good at segues. You should be in radio.
Yeah, it's almost like I've done this before.
Spider-Man Far From Home. We get introduced to a new villain, Mysterio, Quentin Beck.
Well, is he a villain? We just don't know. Because the trailers would lead us to believe that he's a good guy from another dimension.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing. And anybody reading comic books, Spider-Man fans like me, you know right away, oh, that's the villain. And then, but like you said, on those trailers, like, don't make him a nice guy. And yeah. So, but yeah, that's, I like the way they're portraying that for the non-fans. Because there's a lot of people brought into the Marvel world thanks to the Avengers.
Oh, absolutely.
And the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well,
and it's amazing that because of the licensing deal that Marvel Studios had at the Marvel had at the time, where Fox owned the pantheon of most notable Marvel characters, X-Men and those guys, Marvel is left trying to create lemonade out of lemons,
right.
And so they went with Iron Man.
Yeah,
because and that's the thing, that people who aren't familiar with anything other than the Marvel movies aren't going to realize that Iron Man has always been popular, but he's never been the upper echelon of superheroes until the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then they piece together Iron Man, Thor, you know, and those guys and create a billion-dollar franchise. Yeah,
exactly.
Multi-billion-dollar franchise.
Now, you can talk to individuals that are Iron Man fans, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, he's always been the best. You know, for me, it's always been Spidey. And you know what? That's, unfortunately, Spider-Man has been the face of Marvel for years and years. You could say Spider-Man and X-Men.
Right.
And, well, X-Men's owned by Sony. So it's like, crap, can't do that. Yeah, is it Sony that owns X-Men?
No. Fox owned X-Men.
Fox, that's it.
Sony owns Spider-Man, and they still do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they wanted to bring Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel came to an unprecedented agreement with Sony. And so they have this weird joint custody thing where
they get visitation.
Sony makes all of the money from having Spider-Man in the Marvel universe. So
yeah, and it's an interesting tie-in. But I love the fact that, you know, like I said, Spider-Man, X-Men, that would be the face of Marvel, and they couldn't work with it. So they forced it down our throats. Iron Man be the guy, and it's like after you're watching Iron Man, the first movie, you're like, yeah, he could be, yeah. And then, you know, they made the teasers, all, you know, the notorious Marvel Cinematic Universe end of credits teasers,
right.
With Iron Man is putting together the team. Well, and then they moved it on to Nick Fury's putting together the team. And so, you know, you start to realize, okay, this team effort thing is really going to work. And look at the cool people they got in here. And, ha, we don't need you, Spider-Man or X-Men. But then they brought him in. And so now we have an all-new Spider-Man. Now, okay.
Well, and I think we just have to take a moment and all hail Kevin Feige.
Yes.
Hail Kevin Feige. Because the idea, and truthfully, it was a shared cinematic universe, but as I've come to understand it, they hadn't really locked in on the Infinity Saga until Avengers.
Right.
Avengers is really when they went, okay, we're actually going to do this thing, and here's how we're going to do it. And so they were a little less tied in together up until Avengers. And then after Avengers, I think Kevin Feige developed a pretty solid idea of where they were going to go from there.
Right. Yeah. So. And he did too. And I mean, realistically, the whole idea of bringing every freaking hero known to man into one scene that's just a recipe for disaster.
It never should have worked.
It
never should have worked as good as it did, but man, did it work. So good.
And Endgame, okay, here come the spoilers. Let's talk about the Endgame.
Spoilers.
Because we've got to get into that before we get into Spider-Man because of some of the things that are causing Spider-Man to do this. But basically, they get the final battle with Thanos. We're going to just jump right into there. And the heroes that were destroyed, you know, by the snap,
Snapping.
Yeah, the snapping, yeah. I love that. I love the internet creating great words for us. But so the snapping, and then all the heroes coming back at during the big battle, it was like, I don't know, it's like you're just sitting there in the theater and, you know, they're getting beat. They're winning. Oh, they're getting beat. And then all of a sudden the portals open up and all these heroes come in the theater. You're like, yes, you know, screaming, ready to go. And it's like, this is freaking awesome. And then you see all these heroes. And I mean, it was fast too. It was like, boom, there's one hero getting a hit in. There's another. Boom, boom, boom.
How many times have you seen Endgame?
Twice.
Did you spot Howard the Duck?
Yes.
In that final scene where they're all coming out of the portals? Howard the Duck is in there for about half of a frame.
Yeah.
You, just, there he is. Glimpse.
It's like, it's almost like it's
and it's the
cameo.
It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe Howard the Duck, not the weird 1980s Howard the Duck where he slept with Marty McFly's mom.
Although she was hot during that.
Oh, she was ridiculously hot.
Leah Thompson.
Yes, Leah Thompson. But absolutely.
Yeah, I saw that, and that's actually the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Howard the Duck, voiced by Seth Green. I'm hoping they keep that.
Yeah.
And
I'm fine with him just popping up in random places.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in the, he was in the background of, I think it was Guardians 2.
Yeah.
He actually shows up in a scene. Like, they show him in the collector's cage in Guardians 1.
Well, yeah.
And then in Guardians 2,
he's like drinking a martini.
Yeah, he's like sitting at a bar hitting on some girl.
Yep.
But.
Yeah, and that's, I hope they keep, but yeah, actually, you brought that up. As after I saw the first one, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't have time to look at how many people were in that background. So I went and I cheated and I Googled, and there were people out there spoiling the crap out of it anyway. So I didn't really feel bad. But anyway, someone said Easter eggs you haven't spotted yet is like that, and they listed all the heroes that they saw. And I don't know how these people saw this on their first take.
Yeah.
But they said Howard the Duck. I'm like, no, I did not see Howard the Duck. And so they describe it. And so when I went and saw it the second time, then I was purposely looking for Howard. I've loved Howard. I've got every Howard the Duck comic book ever made.
Now, where do you stand on the 1980s Leah Thompson Howard the Duck movie?
Leah Thompson was hot.
She was spectacular in that.
That's all I can say about that movie.
Yeah, we did not need that many duck nipples.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm just going to leave it at that. We did not need that many duck nipples.
No. And the thing was, when they did that, I'm like, I was a fan. I mean, Man-Thing, Spider-Man, and even Kiss made an appearance in Howard the Duck comics, okay? Or Howard the Duck would show up in the Man-Thing or Spider-Man comics. And I was like, oh, maybe they're going to tease us with like they did in, because almost every episode or every issue had some kind of appearance. And so they did, I know. And it's like it didn't even have anything to do with comic books. So.
Yeah.
No, that movie, no. It does not exist.
how much did your, again, spoilers, how much did your heart swell when Cap threw Thor's hammer?
I know where you're going. Yes.
Cap threw Mjolnir.
Well, it's funny because you're sitting there and Thor's just getting beat and you're like, oh no. And then all of a sudden, wham, there's that hammer. I'm like, what? And then you see it's coming back to Captain America and you're like, you just start cheering. In fact, the theater, when I first saw it, was so packed, they were cheering out loud. I almost missed Thor. I knew it. You know, that line. I almost missed that line because it's so loud.
And
they're cheering.
You know, that's the thing. I've got to give Kevin Feige, the Russos, all of the love, because it was not only was it the big notes like Cap finally saying Avengers Assemble.
Yes.
Because we wanted that to happen from the first Avengers movie, and they held it off. And
they kept
it
teasing
off,
us.
Kept teasing us, and he finally says it. That was fantastic. But those little moments, those little beats, like Thor saying, I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Just blew the internet up. People going, so Cap could have picked up the hammer the whole time,
right?
Because you know there was that in Age of Ultron where they were trying to pick up the hammer
and he
Cap
moved it, and you see, and if you look, you know, you see Thor's face like, oh, wait, what? You know,
so the thought is that Cap could move it at that moment, and he knew he could move it, but he didn't want to embarrass the other friends. Embarrass Thor.
Yeah.
So he chose not to pick it up.
Yeah. And that's a great theory too.
That is deep cuts.
Yeah.
And when the portals first open and you first hear the static on Cap's headset,
right,
and you hear Falcon say, on your left.
On your left. That was killer. That was that like brought a tear to my eye.
And it is such a small line that for people who haven't lived and breathed this stuff through all of these movies, it might not mean much.
Right.
But if you watched Captain America Civil War, you know exactly what that referenced.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
And like, the idea that they were able to keep track of that and pay off of those little moments beyond the big ones was epic.
Well, the best thing about that is like those little moments. I mean, there's like in, was it Age of Ultron? I think that was the one where, you know, language, You know, and you know that one. That kind of, I thought they were going to bring that back, but no, they brought the better one back. Yeah. On your left. In fact, I saw a meme where it was like the guys from Avatar, the creatures, whatever they are, and then on the left hand side there was Captain America on your left, and it's talking box office numbers. Yeah. I was like, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing that they did with that perfectly, is they tied in all these little. In fact, at the okay, spoiler, huge freaking spoiler here, Iron Man dies. Okay, Tony there. Stark dies.
We've ripped the Band-Aid off. Yes. It's all good now.
Tony Stark dies. At his funeral, at the very end of the movie, there's a kid, a teenage kid, just standing there.
Yeah, everybody. He's the only one where they're panning slowly, and there you've got Black Panther right. and his sisters and his mom, and then they hit this one kid, and everybody in the theater is going, oh, that's... Wait, who the hell's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, who's that?
and it's funny because when I left, I'm like, I'm puzzled. You know, I don't know. And my nephew was there, and he asked me, he goes, who was that guy at the funeral? I'm like, I don't know. And then on the drive home, right about the time I pulled into my driveway, it's about a four-minute drive from the theater to my house. I pulled into the driveway. I'm like, no. That couldn't be. I had to do it. Look it up to make sure. But it was the kid that had the barn that he could yep. rebuild himself. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I immediately texted my nephew and said, it was the kid.
And for my money, if they want to continue that and make that kid the next Iron Man,
yeah,
I'm all in.
That would be
take
cool.
my money.
Yeah,
take my money.
He helps him with technology.
Because that's the next thing. That's the next big question. How does the MCU move forward?
Right.
Obviously, Spider-Man Far From Home is the next movie following Endgame, but it is actually the bookend of this phase
yes.
of the Infinity Saga. So this is still very much within that continuity, the Infinity Saga. And so this Spider-Man Far From Home will be the conclusion.
I mean, after all, they've got Happy from the Iron Man 1, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's they got that. They got Nick Fury.
And I love that they still have Jon Favreau as part of the MCU. You know, it's basically the house that Jon built because, you know, if it wasn't for him insisting on certain elements in the first Iron Man movie.
Right.
First off, the casting of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, as Tony Stark, that was spectacular.
Yeah.
Jon Favreau having a passion for comic books. And to some extent, practical effects. There was a lot of the Iron Man suit
yeah.
that they actually built practically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it had some real weight, and it felt real.
Yeah.
And because it felt real, we all sort of bought into it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, we accepted it for 100%. It's like, yeah, okay, that I can take it. And that's what made this, oh, we can have a nice little comic book collection going on here with movies. And yeah, you're right. And that's and having him in the Far From Home, having Nick Fury, I have a feeling there might be some others.
Is it Nick Fury?
Yeah.
Because I've seen some speculation that Nick Fury isn't Nick Fury. That Nick Fury is the chameleon.
Yeah, because that I've heard that too. Because
he called Peter a bad word.
Yeah.
In the trailer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and there's also going back to Captain Marvel, where he said he doesn't. They're talking about the toast being cut into triangles. He said he can't stand it cut into triangles. Well, they show, if you go back, I think it's Winter Soldier. They show him eating toast with triangles, cut into triangles. So it's like they're thinking at that time, he's, was it Kree at that time? So, you know.
See, I just got gooseys. I just got gooseys because that hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah, so it's interesting how these little things, you know, because, again, on your left, it's a little thing, very little thing, but look how big it was in the movie. These little things with Nick Fury, oh my God.
Yeah, and then
I
wonder
later.
And then I wonder too, I fear too that those of us in the nerd sphere are given Marvel maybe way more credit than they deserve. Like, I'm thinking that Kevin Feige sits at home and occasionally surfs some of these websites and goes, holy crap, that is a good thought. Right. That hadn't occurred to me.
I'm writing that one for next one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, we're talking about how Far From Home is going to be the bookend for this that phase of Marvel. The X-Men,
Dark Phoenix
is coming out here, like, well, within days of recording this. That's supposed to be taking place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go about tying that together. I've heard that at the very least there'll be references to the MCU. Yeah. Captain Marvel, I think, gets referenced. I think Rogue
Okay.
Name drops Captain Marvel as one of her favorite superheroes or something like that.
Okay.
So maybe a way to tie it into the MCU without really having any of the MCU, you know, like definitive hard lines
right.
that they have to worry about trying to untie or tie up later. And in the X-Men world, I've also heard some casting rumors for Wolverine.
Yeah, I saw Danny DeVito was one of them. But, I didn't believe that one. Who'd you hear?
Charlie Hunnam.
Wait a minute. Where
Charlie Hunnam played Jax Teller in the Sons of Anarchy TV series.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the Jaeger pilots in Pacific Rim.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Charlie Hunnam as Wolverine, and there's some some really spectacular fan art, you know, zipping around the internet. You know, my money would be on Tom Hardy if he weren't already Venom.
Right.
Yeah. I would like to have Tom Hardy as Wolverine. You know, I think that would be cool.
No, I still think the idea of Danny DeVito is really cool.
Yeah, well, it is interesting.
Can you believe it? There's a petition for that.
Holy moly. I get that Danny's short and Wolverine is short, but...
Hey, bub. No, but I saw that and I'm like, that would be so freaking
I wonder if there's
awesome
fan art. You suppose there's Danny DeVito Wolverine fan art out there?
You know, I've got the internet right in my right hand.
On your left.
So I might have to look that up. Actually, might have to look that up here in a minute. Well, actually, start talking about... Actually, I got an idea for you here. They say that one of the rumors I heard is that Dark Phoenix is going to tease the next phase of Marvel Cinematic. Have you heard anything about that?
You know, that's really obvious. I mean, it makes a ton of sense because... They've got a couple of Marvel has a couple of movies on the slate for like 2020 and 2021, I think, or maybe 2021 that they haven't announced. They haven't said what it's going to be yet. Oh, that is wrong.
There's your Danny DeVito Wolverine.
That is wrong. Oh my. Turns out it is not always sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, there's some fan art out there. I think this one in the middle there is the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the actual hand-drawn. But, yeah. Yeah.
Danny DeVito is Wolverine.
Yeah, he barely made it as Penguin. I mean, come on.
I saw something today that there's speculation that Daredevil, Deadpool will actually make an appearance in Far From Home.
Really?
Well, you know,
I heard that they're going to use one of these movies to help bring Deadpool into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In fact, the biggest rumor I heard about Deadpool was that going back to Endgame, when Ever Korg is getting bad mouthed by somebody on what's that game?
Oh, Fortnite.
Fortnite, and Thor jumps on, and it's like Noob Killer 69. They're saying that was Deadpool. And I'm like, that'd be his screen name, too. Noobkiller69 would so be Deadpool's screen name.
Man. And even if it wasn't, it was a great little Kevin Feige, Russo Brothers, whoever, put it in there just to drive all of us crazy. Yeah, yeah. Just because we're going, Noobkiller69, that is so Deadpool, that is Wade Wilson. Yes. And my problem is... everything Ryan Reynolds stars in, I think, is just Wade Wilson before he became Deadpool.
Right.
You know, you go back and watch the Van Wilder movies tell me that isn't Wade Wilson in college.
Exactly is. That's why when he was cast as Deadpool, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see it immediately.
Yeah.
And even his stint as Green Lantern, I could see his Deadpool would have been better. So. Yeah. Yeah. And again, Ryan Wilson as Pikachu. Is still Deadpool.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are so many lines in that, like, I can feel it in my jellies. That's a Deadpool line.
Uh-huh. Pika, pika. Well, and it figures that Wade Wilson would have to go do voiceover work because, let's face it, he wasn't pretty to be an action, be a movie star anymore.
Right.
But he could certainly do voiceover work.
Exactly. So. We're tying it in for you, Marvel.
That's right. We are connecting the threads for you.
Yeah, so Kevin Feige is going to be listening to this and like, okay, that's a good one. I'm going to write that down.
Yep. Noobkiller 69. You know, that was Wade Wilson. That's exactly what I intended the whole time.
Danny DeVito as Logan. I think that's going to be taken seriously, though.
Darn it. Yeah. They've already done Old Man Logan.
Oh, yeah, true. So, all right. So, Homecoming, or I'm sorry, Far From Home, Dark Phoenix. Those are the next Marvel movies out. What are the next other movies coming out?
Well, I know they're working on a Black Widow movie, and yeah. I've seen set photos of the Black Widow movie, because the big speculation was, again, spoiler, Black Widow dies in Endgame.
Yeah, right.
She sacrifices herself so that they can collect the Soul Stone from Vormir. And the speculation was that if they're doing a Black Widow movie, because they've announced it, they started filming it, that it was going to be a prequel. But I saw some leaked set photos that very much look like Natasha Romanoff, very much look like Scarlett Johansson as she did in Endgame.
Right.
Hairstyle's the same, hair color's the same.
That blonde, short.
No, this is the where it's kind of the long red again with the like blonde tips. Toward the end.
Yeah.
After the 5-year jump in Endgame.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, there is based on those set photos alone and nothing else, because the internet loves nothing if not to speculate
right.
with limited amount of information, that when Cap went back to Vormir to return the Soul Stone, he bargained with the Red Skull.
Right.
And actually brought Natasha back. And being an, uber spy, she just went off the grid and stayed dead for a while.
Yeah, that's a great theory. I mean, realistically, and the thing is, how great of a movie would it be just to watch Cap bring the Soul Stone back and the battle between him and Red Skull again?
Yeah, the Marvel, you know, the Disney Plus streaming app, they're talking about doing some one-off Elseworld sort of scenario type thing.
Right.
But what are they called?
What-ifs?
Yeah, the what-ifs. Yeah. The what-if series. So I would love to see a what if of. Now I think those are going to be animated, so you could theoretically get Chris Evans in to do the voice work and have it still be part of the MCU mythology.
Yeah.
But I would like to see that, what it was like when Captain America went to return the Soul Stone and came face to face with a Red Skull.
Yeah. Because that would be, again, that would be right there. That would have my attention immediately, because the Red Skull alone was a great villain that they didn't give him enough time.
Right.
It's like, darn you. That's one thing. The animated thing that Disney's going to be streaming, there's a whole bunch of things in the works for that. Loki supposed to be getting his own series?
Yeah, Loki is getting his own series. Falcon and Winter Soldier are getting their own series. And WandaVision is getting a series as well.
WandaVision?
Yeah, that's...
That sounds like its own streaming channel.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm interested to see how they pull that off, because I've heard that it's supposed to actually be set in like the 50s or something.
Oh, wow. Well, they did go into hiding. Maybe Vision time traveled. And
who knows?
Marty McFly'd it, so I don't know.
I am all in.
Yeah, I mean, they closed out this chapter with Endgame, and there were, well, like you said, the book ending with the Spider-Man, and they've taken my money, and I'm happy to make sure they take more from, you know, it's going to be ready.
And they have smartly, I think, they've taken a beat. They've completed the Infinity Saga. That's what they've affectionately dubbed this 22-movie or 23-movie story arc by the time Far From Home is included. I think it was 22 movies up to Endgame. Far From Home will be the 23rd movie in the Infinity Saga.
Okay, yeah.
And that makes a great deal of sense from a marketing standpoint, because now we're all going to have to spend stupid amount of money to buy the collector box set of the 23 freaking movies that are the Infinity Saga, probably in an Infinity Gauntlet of some kind.
Well, if they do that, I'm hoping to God that they have one disc just with Stan Lee cameos. Just back
so
to back.
Good. Yeah.
Including Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Which was the best Stan Lee cameo. So, yeah. Well, speaking of Spider-Verse, one of the things they teased is like what they're actually teasing in the Far From Home, so they say, is the idea of the multiverse. What do you think? Do you think this is going to come about?
Well, I think the multiverse is a great way to give, because again, Disney and Marvel have pulled off the unthinkable. I mean, they've tied successfully 23 movies together in a relative cohesive story arc. Now there's some stuff that they've had to retcon along the way and fix the continuity of some things. But for the most part, nobody else has done, outside of all of Kevin Smith's movies being in the same cinematic universe.
Right.
I've seen interviews with Kevin Smith where people are like, hey, Marvel stole that from you. And Kev's like, no, I stole that from comic books. They've right. had a shared universe for years. And I just thought, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've done a smarter thing by taking a beat. Mm-hmm. They're going to wait a little bit. And the idea of a multiverse is a great way to free them up, that they've established a continuity. Now, if they create a multiverse, that allows them to do one-off movies that don't necessarily have to be interwoven as tightly as the Infinity Saga.
Right.
So you get to do a little bit more free-range stuff.
Yeah, and they can drop hints about other, like with the Netflix series of action heroes. I was kind of sad that they didn't make an appearance in Endgame, but you know.
Well, and I didn't even think about it at the time. And again, I've seen Endgame two or three times. I think that's what Doctor Strange and Wong were referencing. They opened the portals, and Doctor Strange says, "Is this everybody?"
Right.
And Wong says, "Well, you wanted more." Yes, I wanted more. I wanted Daredevil and Jessica Jones and, you know.
And Luke Cage. And
Luke Cage, not necessarily Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But definitely, I'd have been pickled tink if Daredevil and Punisher had made an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Or I thought right then would have been a great time for them to make a Wolverine cameo.
Yeah.
Even if it was Hugh Jackman sliding into frame, flexing his claws and going, "Sorry, I'm late, bub."
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. Just,
I don't need to see him anymore. Just
because you know he's going to take care of what he needs to take care
right.
of. So, yeah, and that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I would have loved to have seen it, but we didn't. So with those, you know, and those they hinted at, like, I mean, all through Daredevil, the newspaper office, they had clips of the event in New York and all that.
Yeah, and
that
was always a sad thing. The Marvel or the Netflix Marvel universe always referenced the movies.
Yeah.
But the movies never reference those guys.
Maybe in the future they can say, oh, well, we'll work that back.
And I'm hoping that what'll happen is, you know, Disney has launched the streaming service and they basically killed all of the, not literally killed, but they ended all of the series on Netflix. I think Jessica Jones' final season is getting ready to drop this month, I believe, June. And then I'm hoping that they'll let them rest for a couple of years and then relaunch them on as genuine parts of the, and I would keep Jessica Jones.
Yes.
I would keep Luke Cage.
Yes.
I would keep Punisher because, oh, that was so good. And Daredevil and Kingpin.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Kingpin
as Kingpin was
epic. Yeah. I would like to see him as Kingpin in the Spider-Man Far From Home, even post credit, just something. Because Kingpin is a Spider-Man villain.
Yep.
So let's drop him into Far From Home just to say,
Ooh,
we haven't completely abandoned these guys.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
We're going to keep what works, and maybe we don't talk about Iron Fist.
Yeah, I always like, exactly. Still, Iron Fist could have been bad. I don't know what they did wrong, but they're something, and it just wasn't Iron Fist.
Well, I think it really, my takeaway is that it was the fight choreography. The fight choreography was bad, and I think they had such a tight production schedule that the guy who played Danny Rand couldn't, learn the choreography.
Yeah.
He didn't have any martial arts experience. He wasn't a martial artist.
And you could tell.
And you cannot play, you know, Iron Fist and not have some martial arts training.
So maybe they recast it.
Yeah.
That's an idea. So, yeah, who was it that had the dojo in Napoleon Dynamite? it was also in Drew Carey. I can't remember that actor's name. I never can, but he should be.
There you go.
He was a better one. Uh-oh, looks like I'm getting a text. Anyway, all right, so we got Marvel figured out. At least we're hope on our point of view.
Right.
We have it figured out. DC. They've always been, you know, people not hated.
Right.
Just not as good.
I think at this point DC has learned their lesson and they're going to start doing what they probably should have done from the beginning. Not try to copy what Marvel did.
Right.
Not have a shared cinematic universe. But realize that we're going to go see a Batman movie or a Wonder Woman movie or an Aquaman movie or Flash, even if they're not all tied together.
Right.
They don't have to be all tied together. So stop trying to shoehorn them in together.
Yes.
Because Marvel's doing it and Marvel's making a crap ton of money. So let's do it. You know, so I'm fine with the new The Batman, mm-hmm. the new movie that they've announced, yeah. and Robert Pattinson has been officially announced.
Even with him as Batman?
I am fine with him as Batman. Okay. I think he's got that dark, brooding, angry. Well, yeah, as long as he doesn't glitter. It's going to make it hard to skulk around at night if you're shiny.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And that's the thing. Poor Robert Pattinson. I think he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
And I think he's just, because people know him from the Twilight movies, he's been pigeonholed.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
done a lot of other movies that he's been really good in.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you're absolutely right. It's fun to make a joke. It's like Ben Affleck, when everybody said, oh, God, Ben Affleck is Batman. To me, I'm like, that sounds cool.
Well, you remember
how
much
he did good.
You remember how much hate Michael Keaton got back in the 80s
yes.
when he was, are you kidding? Mr. Mom as Batman? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep.
That'll fail. Beetlejuice? Are you serious? You know.
And then it's like, oh, he's awesome. That's Batman. Yeah. So
George Clooney. Oh, wait a minute.
Val Kilmer. No.
Well, and that's
we've
again,
had plenty of Batman.
And I'm gonna reference Kevin Smith because I worship at the altar of Kevin Smith. he had talked about the idea of what they could do for the new Batman movie and do a Batman Beyond type thing.
Yes.
Where
yes.
Michael Keaton is Bruce Wayne and maybe Robert Pattinson isn't Bruce Wayne.
Is the Batman, though.
Is the, you know.
With that red logo. I love that costume on that.
But. You know, a little futuristic vibe.
Yeah.
And how cool would it be to see Michael Keaton back as an old, angry, haggard Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
Oh,
that would be so.
Take all my money.
Exactly.
Take all my money.
I would be there. And you know what? And Batman is never. Well, I've liked Batman. I mean, comic books from DC, Batman and Flash were typically the ones I read. And Green Lanterns. Oh, I love Green Lantern. Anyway, the Batman is like, you put a Batman movie, I'm going to go see it no matter who's in it. I'll make fun of it later.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I mouth off about the George Clooney Batman or the Val Kilmer Batman, I've seen them all.
Right, yeah.
Christian Bale Batman, I've seen them all.
But,
you know.
Yeah, I don't think they can not make any kind of superhero movie where people are still going to go see it. Sure, they may talk bad if something's wrong, but they're going
to
see it.
And that's the thing. I have to be honest. Because it doesn't matter. 99.9% of everything the Marvel Cinematic Universe has done has caught a little heat on the internet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People just love to hate stuff.
Yeah.
I have not seen a lot of that hate about Endgame. Like, it paid enough fan service, and it answered a lot.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Everybody seems to be really positive. I keep waiting for the shoe to fall.
Yeah.
Where people go, yeah, but.
Yeah.
And I really haven't seen that much.
No. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's like when Suicide Squad came out. At first, when it came out, oh, this is going to be awesome. The DC's going to do a movie right. And then it came out, and then. For a good couple of weeks, everybody was like, this is great. Harley Quinn, and this is nice. And then after that couple of weeks, the honeymoon was over.
Well, and I love that leading up to Suicide Squad, everybody was pissed about Jared Leto.
Yes.
That is ridiculous. I don't want Insane Clown Posse in my Batman movie. That's stupid. Yeah. And then after the movie's release, well, Jared Leto wasn't in that enough. I don't know why they didn't have the Joker in there more.
Exactly. Well, and that's so funny because that's right now the new Godzilla movie out. One of the complaints when the last was a couple years ago when the other Godzilla movie came out with Walter White.
Yeah.
Anyway, when that movie came out,
for my money, he's the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. Hal. He's Hal. That's it. But when that movie came out, they said, "Oh, there's too much human drama, not enough monster fights." I've been watching online the reviews on this. Too many monster fights, not enough drama.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you? People just like to complain. So
I love the internet. Yeah. We love you, internet.
You guys are great. And now with the DC, there's a movie coming out or that scheduled. I forgot which one.
Well, the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix
is
set to drop. And I don't know.
Well,
because I don't want to be that guy on the internet going, "Are you kidding? Joaquin Phoenix is a Joker? That's stupid." Because it may be incredible.
I think people said that about Heath Ledger, and you know,
yeah.
Oh, you mean the guy from that Night movie? No.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the thing is, I heard somebody saying, "Well, they got Pattinson as Batman. Why can't they have another Batman in another movie?" Well, yeah, they got like three Jokers coming out. Why not three Batmans to match them? So
that's the thing. And I think, honestly, I think that's what DC has now figured out and they're going to start doing is let's not try to do what Marvel did. Yeah. Let's do a kick-ass Gal Gadot Wonder Woman movie. Wonder Woman can do her own thing over here. Jason Momoa obviously smashed it as Aquaman.
Oh, man.
Let's just keep doing those. And if they intersect at some point, fantastic.
Yeah.
But they don't have to.
Yeah.
We want to do a younger, more, you know, old school detective film noir sort of Batman. So let's cast a younger actor to play Batman in that movie. And they got Robert Pattinson for that kind of vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you look at it, I mean, if one of the things they could do is create all these little bitty Batmans, Supermans, all the different heroes. There's like a buttload of them to choose from. I mean, they even had Shazam.
Yeah.
Which was a really good movie.
It was. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And I thought it was the cutest thing ever. And at the same time, when I use the word cute, I'm like, is that a
thing? I'm not sure all of the actors knew they were in the same movie.
Right. And that's true too.
Who's the guy that played the villain in Shazam? He
seemed
like
him as an actor.
Love him. He was fantastic in Shazam, but he was playing it a whole lot more hardcore and serious.
Yeah.
Than I think Shazam warranted.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Especially like the part where he's like, I just lifted a bus, and then all of a sudden there's a bad guy beating him up. I'm like, wait a minute, that guy's really beating him up.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I mean, what they can keep doing these, and then eventually they could come out with a Crisis on Infinite Earths type setup.
That's the
just
thing.
Eventually
I mean,
get to that.
You know. Marvel has their version of the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
DC has their version. So embrace that and live within that. And I don't remember. There was a point where I had the idea for a Batman movie that would have actually brought all of the Batmen together in one movie.
Wow. Yeah.
As a sort of an infinite crisis type situation.
Right.
And you get Michael Keaton and George Clooney and Val Kilmer and Christian Bale and Ben Affleck to all make a cameo in sort of like the animated Spider-Man, the new one.
Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
You know, they had all of the different Spider-Men.
Yes.
You know, Noir and Spider-Pig and the...
And Nicolas Cage and... I thought he was awesome as Spider-Man.
Yeah, and let's face it, Nick Cage is Nick Cage no matter what he's in either.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and that, yeah, because that's exactly what they can do. And with, okay, here's the thing with DC. I've always said this ever since day one. DC, when it comes to animated properties, they're rocking it.
Yeah,
every one of them. And they release different animated movies. The only one I've seen
that I didn't really like was Ninja Batman.
I didn't catch that one.
Oh, that was... okay. It was rough. It's basically Batman versus the Joker in feudal Japan. Which sounds cooler.
I think I see the faults with that.
Yeah, it sounds cooler than it ended up being.
Okay, maybe they got one. But see, that's it, one. Whereas Marvel, I think they're animated until Into the Spider-Verse came out. Before that, they were like very childish.
Yeah.
And I hated that. And whereas DC, they had some that you didn't want a child to see.
Right.
But it was animated. So, yeah, and I think they always, if they could just take what they do in the animated, put that together, because they do the multiverse thing in their animated.
Yeah, and I'd say just lean into that. Mm-hmm. Embrace the idea. Instead of trying to create a shared continuity like the MCU has, just say, nope, everything DC has ever produced is all part of the DC Extended Universe. It's all part of the multiverse.
Yeah.
So the Adam West Batman absolutely exists next to the Christian Bale Batman.
Well, that's Earth 66.
Yeah, just a different version.
Yep.
And why not? And then all of us on the internet, all of us nerds out there are going to go, well, now I don't have anything to complain about.
No, we'll find something
we'll
to complain
find
about. So, all right. Well, you know what? That brings an end to the podcast this time around. I mean, it's been a while, and I know we've got lots more we could talk about. But, Tony, I want to, first of all, thank you for, A, being a nerd.
And, my pleasure.
And, B, joining me and helping me nerd out for an hour of
I
consider this my therapy.
The next topic we have to touch on will be Star Trek.
Yes.
And Orville.
Yeah.
Which is my new favorite Star Trek.
Yes.
You know.
Until Picard comes out.
Yeah, and I'm keep my fingers crossed.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? That'll be a whole new podcast. We'll talk about Star Trek leading up to it, talk about
not that I'm trying to take over your podcast.
No.
But... I love to talk about some Star Trek.
Okay.
I love me some Star Trek.
Well, with the big gap in between episodes, I think I would like to have someone help me push this keep it going. So, that's a great idea. I'm going to write that down. We might even get the other guys involved on it too. So, do a little Skype action and have everybody contact us. So, well, that's it for the Nerd Up Podcast. Don't forget, please support us in any way you can. Go to the website, nerduppodcast.com. You can buy our T-shirts or coffee mugs, or I think we have thongs.
I think I'll skip the thong.
I'm wearing mine now.
I thought I might pick up a T-shirt, but...
the thong? Not yours.
I am a whole lot of man for a thong.
All right, well... Well, okay, you don't have to. Anyway, please, and that helps support the podcast, and maybe it'll keep us from having those three-month-long gaps. I forget how long it's been, but, yeah, it's too long of a gap. So support us, and also let us know what you want to put on the next podcast. You can message us on the on the page itself, or you can find us on Facebook, the Nerd Up Podcast. We'll be glad to talk with you. So that's it. As we like to say at the end of every single episode, stay nerdy.